In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, welcome to worship at Providence Presbyterian Church. We're glad that you're here with us on this beautiful summer weekend. We pray that you will meet God as we worship together here this day. We particularly want to say a special word welcoming our visitors this morning, and we invite everyone to sign the welcome pads that you will find on the inside pew and pass them down the pew so that you may greet one another by name following the worship service. Please plan to join us for a time of fellowship together and refreshments in the Hope Room immediately behind the sanctuary after the service today. If you receive your newsletter by mail rather than email, it is available for you to pick up. The July-August issue is available for you to pick up in the entryway to the side here, and we hope you will do that. If you would like to receive it by email, please let us know that as well. Please note in our worship order today that we are singing new words to the doxology, so you will want to have your bulletin at the ready as we prepare to say thanks in our offering. This week we begin our summer barbecue season, weather hopefully not like Friday and more like Saturday, and we will be gathering on the front lawn from 6 to 8 p.m. with grilled offerings, and you're invited to bring a dish to share of your choice and or plan to contribute a few dollars towards the cost of the meat and the drinks each week. We are continuing to look for co-hosts for that through this season, so there's a sign-up sheet on the bulletin board in the Hope Room for you to do that as well, or you can talk to Gina Bay, I think, today about any questions about that, and the information about co-hosting is there. So together we make this an offering not just for our congregation, but to anyone who might come. From the neighborhood, from your friends, from family visiting, everyone is welcome at this barbecue. Also on Tuesday night, in conjunction with Tuesday night, our youth program will be offering a youth movie night starting probably around 7:30 downstairs in the Godly Play classroom. That's for grades 6 through 12, our older youth. There is also in the Hope Room a sign-up sheet if you might be interested in hearing more about the General Assembly's actions this June as they took action on several important issues in the life of our world and our church. Please sign up on the sign-up sheet in the Hope Room as to your availability and your interest so that if there is enough interest, we will have that happen. There's also on that sign-up sheet bulletin board to sign up for the next Camp Street Food Pantry Workday, which is already again on July 16th, right after the mission trip, the youth mission trip. So if you can help out with feeding the neighbors in our neighborhood, please let us know on that. Are there any other announcements this morning? Yes, Sherry.
So while the fishers are away, we really would like to keep the worship band going. So right now we do have a lot of volunteers for singing, which is amazing. We're hoping to get started again in a couple weeks or so, but we are in need of musicians. So if anyone plays an instrument, guitar, percussion, bass, anything like that, just let me know. That would be great, so we could just kind of keep it going. Thanks.
Thanks, Sherry. Let us prepare to worship God. Thank you. please join with me in the responsive call to worship. We come to worship with our sense of inadequate resources and fear for the future. And God blesses our possibilities into amazing bounty. We come to worship with sadness, grief, and worry about those dear to us. God welcomes our intercession and strengthens those for whom we pray. We come to worship with ourselves, imperfect, awkward, and unsure. And we discover that God is waiting for us, longing for us, loving us, and willing us to love ourselves. Be still and know that I am God, our Lord invites. Let us come to God openly and honestly, confessing our sin and brokenness that we might be healed through Christ. Let us pray first in silence, then confessing together. Continuing in prayer. Forgive us the words we have said that have given pain, and the words we have left unsaid which might have given hope. Forgive us the actions we have taken which have harmed friend or stranger, and the things undone which could have made a difference. Forgive us for the thoughts which poison ourselves and deprecate others, and the thoughtlessness which ignores caring and worship. Gentle God, have mercy on us and give us peace. Amen. Let us continue in a spirit of confession as we sing our song of confession in the large hymnal, number 301, verse 1 of Lord Jesus, Think on Me, as we remain seated. Great is the mercy of our Lord, new every morning. Friends, believe this good news. In Christ, we are forgiven. Amen.
It is time for us to share our joys and concerns this morning. Are there any particular joys or concerns? This could be a first.
I had to say something. So Julia is now in the 39th week of her pregnancy, and so high probability this baby is going to make its way out sometime this week. So we just appreciate your prayers for labor and everything else associated with the baby's arrival.
Continued prayers for my grandfather Leroy, who is recovering. He's having some kidney issues, but it's resolving. And I think he's going into rehab this week. And just prayers for patience for my father and my uncle, and continued prayers for my stepmom, Carol, for recovery. So thank you.
I would ask, please, for prayers for my uncle Ted. He's 88 years old and has been determined to have a kidney tumor. He has a lot of medical problems that might make the typical treatment, which would be surgery, a little complicated. So there are a lot of people putting a lot of energy into trying to decide what would be the best course for my uncle, and I would ask for prayers for that, please. And also prayers of joy that the Senior Scouts have emerged from the wilderness of the Sierra Mountain Range after 10 days of carrying everything with them but water, and they actually found water when they were there. So they're back home safely. They're still on Pacific time. I expect to see them up around 3.
Prayers from Andrew as he rushes back home after coming to he was here, a surprise visit. Friday morning said he was going to spend the 4th of July with us after such a long time seeing him, so it was nice. So prayers for him as he goes back to New York this morning.
A lot of people on the road this holiday weekend. Prayers for all of them.
Let us pray. Into this world, O God, you came, human, created of and by God, in spirit, continuing to enliven all of life. We give thanks for the life and freedom that we have in Christ, which we seek to embody in the world, in wherever our lives and journeys take us. We know that we need your saving power. We pray for your presence without ceasing for our world, to heal places of violence and pain, injustice and war. We lift to you, particularly this day, the people and the decision makers in Israel and Iraq. We pray for those in special need of strength and healing in this time, for those awaiting medical diagnoses and treatments to work, for decision makers that help discern how to move forward with healing. For young and old, for Pete Lashbrook, for Leroy, for Carol, for Uncle Ted. As we gather with family and friends in this community and in new rhythms of summer, may we sense your spirit in and through all things as we rest, recreate, renew, and seek to move in your ways. Make us mindful of your call on our lives, and as we step out in faith to answer that call. We pray that we will meet each other in new ways in the comings and goings, then all will have safe travels on the road in these days. We pray that we may meet one another in new ways as we gather together on Tuesday nights as a witness in our community, in welcoming our neighbors, our friends, and those that we do not know. We pray for the work you call us to live in the world, in our vocations, our families, and in this church's season of life. keep us attentive to the things which are most important. We pray particularly this week for those who are awaiting major transitions in their lives. We lift to you the Vaca family as Julia awaits, and they all await the birth of this new baby. Be with them, strengthen them, hold them in your hand. May they know the wonder of beauty and of this mystery of new life. We pray for our continuing preparations for the mission trip with our youth in these days, and for all who are dedicating their time to be together in Boston, to learn and grow and stretch in new directions, for the work of our search committee discerning new pastoral leadership. We give thanks, O God, for blessings and joys of our lives that we celebrate, times with family, remembering the ideals which founded this country, and where we continue to see that alive. We thank you for the wedding yesterday for Kyle and Elizabeth, for the safe return of the senior scouts from the wilderness, for Andrew Benson's surprise and return and safe return back to New York City. In all these things, O God, in all of these things of life, we are strengthened as you lead us forth by the power of the Spirit of Christ, alive in our midst as we pray the prayer he taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
It is time for the children. Good morning, everybody. Somebody who can read this bulletin, tell me what it says right there, right underneath my finger, right after that. Right, children's message. We have that in the bulletin, don't we? Because that's our special time together. Yeah, we like to have you here and worship with us, and we like to have a special time together every week. And so you come forward, and we have a story or a lesson or whatever. Okay, and if you will look at this picture, I'll try to get around for everybody to see. That's Jesus with children. Yeah, see? Jesus loved the children. And some of his disciples said, oh, he's too busy. Get him away. And Jesus said, oh, no. You let those children come to me. I want to be able to see those children and talk to them and love them and bless them. And so it's very important that we know that Jesus loves you, but it's also important for you to know that all of us in the church treasure you and love you too and like to have you here with us every week. And then in the lesson that we're going to have today in the Bible, it says, that I'm going to read to the grown-ups, or somebody's going to read to the grown-ups in a little bit. It says, Jesus thanks God that there are certain things that God lets the children know, but he doesn't let the wise people and the intelligent people know. Now, how about that? There are certain things God lets children know that adults don't know. And those people who think they're so smart and so wise don't know everything at all. Because there are some things in some ways that you kids are even smarter than adults. Did you ever know that? Yeah. You see things we don't see, don't you? Yeah. And that's God's special gift to you because God loves children so much. So you remember that. That you have special ways of seeing things that we grown-ups don't have, and that God loves you and wants you to have those very special things too, all your own. Okay, let's pray. Thank you, God, for giving children special knowledge that grown-ups don't have, and help grown-ups listen to those children and their wisdom, especially when it is so much greater than the adults. Thank you, God, for this special gift to children. Amen. You're not.
Let us pray. O Lord our God, your word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. Give us the grace to receive your truth in faith and love, that we may be obedient to your will and live always for your glory. Through Jesus Christ our Savior. Amen. And this morning's Old Testament lesson is a number of passages from Genesis. In chapter 24, and there are 34 through 38. 42 through 49, and 58 through 67. So he said, I am Abraham's servant. The Lord has greatly blessed my master, and he has become wealthy. He has given him flocks and herds, silver and gold, male and female slaves, camels and donkeys. And Sarah, my master's wife, bore a son to my master when she was old. And he has given him all that he has. My master made me swear, saying, you shall not take a wife for my son from the daughters of the Canaanites, in whose land I live, but you shall go to my father's house, to my kindred, and get a wife for my son. I came today to the spring and said, O Lord, the God of my master Abraham, if now you will only make successful way, if you will only make successful the way I am going. I am standing here by the spring of water. Let the young woman who comes out to draw, to whom I shall say, please give me a little water from your jar to drink. And who will say to me, drink, and I will draw from your camels also. Let her be the woman who the Lord has appointed for my master's son. Before I had finished speaking in my heart, there was Rebekah coming out for her water jar on her shoulder, and she went down to the spring and drew. I said to her, please let me drink. She quickly let down her jar from her shoulder and said, drink, and I will water your camels. So I drank, and she also watered the camels. Then I asked her, whose daughter are you? And she said, the daughter of Bethuel, Nahor's son, from Milcah bore to him. So I put the ring on her nose and the bracelets on her arms. Then I bowed my head and worshiped the Lord and blessed the Lord, the God of my master Abraham, who had led me by the right way to obtain the daughter of my master's kinsman for his son. Now then, if you deal loyally and truly with my master, tell me, and if not, tell me, so that I may hear, so that I may turn either to the right hand or to the left. 58 through 67. And they called Rebekah and said to her, will you go with this man? She said, I will. So they sent away their sister Rebekah and her nurse, along with Abraham's servant and his men. And they blessed Rebekah and said to her, may you, our sister, become thousands of myriads. May your offspring gain possession of the gates of their foes. Then Rebekah and her maids rose up, mounted the camels, and followed the man. Thus the servant took Rebekah and went his way. Now Isaac had come from Beer-Lahai-Roi and was settled in Negev. Isaac went out in the evening to walk in the field, and looking up, he saw camels coming. And Rebekah looked up and saw, and she saw Isaac. And she slipped quickly from the camel and said to the servant, who is the man over there walking in the field to meet us? the servant said, "It is my master." So she took her veil and covered herself. And the servant told Isaac all the things that he had done. Then Isaac brought her into his mother's tent, into his mother Sarah's tent, and he took Rebekah, and she became his wife, and he loved her. So Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. And the New Testament lesson can be found in Matthew chapter 11, verses 16 through 19 and 25 through 30. "But to what will I compare this generation? It is like children sitting in the marketplaces and calling to one another. We played the flute for you, and you did not dance. We wailed, and you did not mourn. For John came to neither eating nor drinking, and they say, 'He has a demon.' The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, 'Look, a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners.' Yet wisdom is vindicated by her deeds." At the time, Jesus said, "I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and intelligent and have revealed them to infants. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
Wow, what a contrast today's story from Genesis is to last week's. Last week, Abraham was intent on sacrificing his beloved son Isaac. This week, he is intent on getting his beloved son Isaac married. So he will have progeny. And God's promise that Abraham will be the father of nations will actually get to be fulfilled. One of the things we don't know, because of the way they break up our readings so that they will fit into a time for worship and reading it in worship, we don't know that Isaac is 40 years old. Well, Abraham is probably getting a little anxious about those grandchildren coming. And so it seems imperative that he make sure his son does get married. Now, his mother has finally died at age 137. This means that she was 87 when she had him. And we don't really know what happened after Abraham and Isaac were up on that mountain. But the way that Isaac is grieving for his mother after she dies, I have a feeling that maybe things were not quite the same with Dad as they used to be. And he got really close to Mom, and so her death causes a great deal of grief. So we have this story that the lectionary committee has broken down and tried to make it readable in a service, and we lose a lot of it because they've done that. We take our scripture pretty seriously, you know, and sometimes there's humor in it, but we miss it because of the way it's broken up by the lectionary committee or by the way people translate it. So this is a great story. It's a fun story. But I don't know if we always catch that God actually has fun stories in the Bible. So Abraham decides that his son Isaac needs to get married, but one of these little Canaanite gals around the area is not going to be good enough. Abraham sends his servant all the way to his homeland to find a bride. And the servant dutifully rounds up, and this is a detail you'll need to remember, 10 camels. And all kinds of lovely gifts to take with him when he goes to Abraham's homeland. Now, this very foresighted servant is very faithful to God and goes to a very appropriate place to meet young ladies. He goes to the well, the city well, in the evening. Because where else in that culture would you find young women in the evening but getting the water? So they all are going to the well, and he stands there and he says, God, show your steadfast love for my boss Abraham by showing me the right woman to be Isaac's wife. And he prays this lovely prayer. Lord, when this young woman comes to the well and I ask her to give me a drink, let the one that should marry Isaac say, oh, and let me water your camels as well. And so that's exactly what happens. This lovely young woman comes to the well to fetch her family's water. He asks her to lower his jug so that he can have a drink, which she does. And then she says, oh, so perkily, I will be glad to water your camels. 10 camels. Do you have any idea how much water a camel drinks? 20 to 30 gallons per camel. And here Rebecca, apparently cheerfully, draws up 200 to 300 gallons of water to water these camels. No wonder the servant's impressed. And what it says in our translation is that he sits quietly and watches her. What it says in the Hebrew is, he is stunned. I imagine he is stunned, speechless, is why he sits quietly watching her pull up 200 gallons of water. I have a good job just carrying 2 gallons of drinking water home from the store. So Rebecca is this very strong young woman. And he takes this as a sign that God really means for this young woman to be the one that goes back to be Isaac's wife. I mean, after all, don't you want strong women out there in the desert as your wives? And so he gives her this very valuable nose ring. And you thought nose rings were the latest fashion. So he gives her this valuable nose ring. He gives her these 2 big gold bracelets that are even far more valuable than the nose ring. And she goes home. Well, if a young girl comes home from the city well, all bejeweled with this lovely gold stuff, don't you think the family's going to notice? Oh, yeah. They're going to go, where did she get that? And her brother Laban is just so full of hospitality. Oh, blessed servant, come into our home. I've prepared a great place for you. I wonder why. Perhaps he truly feels this guy is guided there by God. But if we know our Bible stories, we know that Laban made Jacob work for 7 years for him in order to marry Rachel. And after he does that, he tricks him and gives him his older daughter Leah instead. And Jacob works another 7 years in order to have Rachel as his wife. So Laban got 14 years of cheap labor from his nephew. So I scratch my head when Laban welcomes the servant, and I go, yeah, Laban, right. You see that gold, and you're thinking, if my daughter marries this guy, we've got it made. And so he welcomes him into the home. And Laban and Bethuel are told the story by the servant exactly what happens. And so they agree that she should marry him. But the mother and Laban think that she should hang around an extra 10 days to have a good long farewell. And the servant says, no, God's been faithful. Let's move on. We're going to leave and go back to my home country. And the father, we finally learn his real name, Bethuel, and he happens to be Abraham's nephew. Rebecca, his daughter, is Abraham's great niece. So the lineage is really good. The marriage will be in the family. And the servant wants to get home with her. So they say, okay, let's let Rebecca decide. So they bring Rebecca out and say, Rebecca, do you want to go with this man? And mom's probably sitting there going, no. But Rebecca says, yes. She's ready to go. So she's not only strong, I'd say she's also pretty courageous and very trusting. To go off with this man she's never met, to go marry another man she's never met, leave her home, her country, and everything she knows. So she and her maids go off to mount the camels and ride back. And in the evening as they arrive, Isaac is out walking in the Negev. And he sees these camels out here. And here's another place where the translation doesn't really do the story justice. It says she slips off the camel. The Hebrew says she falls off the camel. Slipping off a camel, gracefully coming down is one thing. Falling off a camel, plunk, is something else. Now, I don't know if this is a figurative language way of Scripture to say she fell in love at first sight, or whether it is saying she really made a very ungraceful entrance into her new home. Nevertheless, it's a wonderful story. It's a love story because Isaac, when he takes her into his mother's tent, who's recently deceased, who he's still grieving, makes her his wife and loves her. And love is not a necessary ingredient in these arranged marriages. And so they have been blessed by God. And God has been faithful to Abraham and showed Abraham his steadfast love, his chesed. Great story. Who's the main character? Well, without Abraham, nothing's ever going to happen because Abraham tells the servant to go. If the servant doesn't go and stand there by the well and go, I think I'll pick a woman who waters 10 camels for me, we wouldn't have a woman chosen. If Rebecca hadn't shown up at the well and gone, oh, I'll be glad to water your camels, we wouldn't have a story. If Laban hadn't welcomed him into the house and had Bethuel there to say, oh yeah, we'll let her marry him, there would be no story. So it's not a momentous event. Weddings happen all the time. Marriages happen all the time. Pastor Chris has them happening all the time this summer. 4, I believe so. So anyway, it's not that big a deal. And none of these people really stand out as the important one in the story. And yet, how does the work of God get done? Except by a lot of people who don't necessarily stand out on their own, but who quietly work together, discerning God's will, doing all those little tasks, and finally pulling something together that only in retrospect appears to be that something is what God has willed. The thing about the servant, about Abraham, about Rebecca, I don't know about Laban, but about all of these people, even though it actually says, the family says, that this is the work of God, is that they are seeking to discern God's will and to be faithful in all that they are doing. We don't know. Maybe Rebecca went back to her room and prayed to God and said, what do you want me to do, God? And felt divine guidance to say, yes, go to this foreign land. We know the servant prayed all along, God, guide me. Make me pick the right person. We know Abraham always talked to God. Isaac probably thought he was crazy sometimes as much as he talked to God. Oh, here he goes again. So it's faithful people living their daily lives, seeking to understand where God is and what God is wanting them to do. And I believe this is what we do every day as Christians as we plug along. Brooke sits there with the books. Nobody knows how much time Brooke must put in on the church books. But he comes to the session meetings with reams of paper to show how the money of this church is distributed. There are people who are cleaning up out there after coffee hour, long after everybody else has gone. There are people who are out there making coffee and setting out the cheese and the bread that disappears magically during coffee hour. And half the time, when we go back there, we have no idea who set it out. There's somebody who makes sure we have a bulletin every week and that it's folded and we can all hold it in our hand. There are people who put PowerPoint up there. There are people who meet in committees and try to decide what they feel this church is being called to do. And those committees might be composed of a number of people, none of them who stand out. But somehow or another, the nurture committee comes up with wonderful ideas. The deacons come up with great ideas. Worship continues. Music is created by a diverse group of people. And this is what the church is. We have a PNC who is quietly working away trying to discern who is to be called here as the next co-pastor. Most of us probably don't know who all is on that PNC. And yet they work faithfully, reading dossiers, trying to discern who is to be the next co-pastor. And it will happen. And it'll be an amazing and wonderful thing that happens, brought about by just people who are being faithful to God and trusting God to lead them in the correct way, or the best way. And we do that in our individual lives. We take jobs. Lots of times not because that's the job we always coveted, but because that's the way we feel God is leading us to go. And sometimes we're in jobs we don't even like, and yet there is something we can do there, somebody's lives we can touch. And maybe all we do is make somebody's life a little bit better. And we never know it. But somehow we showed them God's love, even if it was our smile that came with our service. Nothing grand, nothing big. That's how God works. Not splashes of light in the sky like we've had over the last several nights. Not magical, mysterious things. Just common people doing the everyday thing of living in faith, taking one step at a time to go where God leads them. And that is the wonder of faith-filled lives. And God's will is accomplished time after time, one step after another, by just ordinary folk doing ordinary stuff. Let us pray. God, thank you for your loving presence, which takes us step by step to where you would have us go. Help us to be open like children to the mystery of your presence, to the joy of your guidance. And help us go where we might fear to go, in order to be faithful to you and to your plan for your realm. And we pray in the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen.
Now please stand and join with me in reciting the affirmation of faith, which is printed in your bulletin. The same Spirit who inspired prophets and apostles rules our faith and life in Christ through Scripture, engages us through the word proclaimed, claims us in the waters of baptism, feeds us with the bread of life and the cup of salvation, and calls women and men to all ministries of the church. In a broken and fearful world, the Spirit gives us courage to pray without ceasing, to witness among all peoples to Christ as Lord and Savior, to unmask idolatries in church and culture, to hear the voices of people long silenced, and to work with others for justice, freedom, and peace. Please be seated. And now is our time in our worship service where we give thanks to God with our gifts and offerings. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you this day for all the gifts you bestow on us. We are so fortunate to be able to return a portion of these gifts and ask your blessing that they are used to do your will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
This is the joyful feast of the people of God. They will come from east and west and north and south to sit at table in the kingdom of God. According to Luke, when our risen Lord was walking back from Emmaus and sat down at table with the people he had walked with, he took bread and he broke it. And when he did, they recognized him. In the breaking of the bread, we come to the table to see our Lord. And everyone who believes is welcome at this table.
Please join with me in the great thanksgiving. The Lord be with you.
Also with you.
Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
Let us pray. Holy God, we praise you for your Son Jesus, who shared our weakness and was tempted in every way as we are. He came to earth that we and all people might be saved and free to live in your Spirit that day and for all time. Now give us your Spirit in the breaking of the bread and the sharing of the cup, so that by your power we may be drawn together and made one with Jesus Christ, who is the way, the truth, and the life. Take these common elements that they might be set aside for your holy and Spirit-filled purpose in the coming to this table. In Christ and through Christ we pray. Amen.
Remembering the Lord Jesus, we break bread and share one cup, announcing his death for the sins of the world and telling of his resurrection to all people and all nations. And on his last night with his disciples, after they had eaten together, Jesus took bread, gave thanks, and then broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body, broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me."
In the same way, after they had eaten, Jesus took the cup and said, "This cup is the new covenant, sealed in my blood for the forgiveness of sin. As often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the death of our Lord until he shall come again." We will share communion this day by intinction. Please come forward as you are able by the center aisle and return by the side aisles. All are welcome. These are the gifts of God for the people of God.
Thank you. Let us pray. In gratitude for this moment, this meal, this gathering, we give ourselves to you, O God. Take us out to live as changed people because we have shared the living bread and cannot remain the same. Ask much of us, expect much from us, enable much by us, encouraging all through us. So God, may we live to your glory here on earth and as citizens of the kingdom of heaven. Amen. In peace, to love and serve the Lord daily and even small ways. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Alleluia. Amen.